Welcome into another beautiful Monday, 5 minutes with Sean, maybe 10. Had a service guest line up for you guys. Things didn't work out. Life sometimes doesn't. So I am sitting in here solo. Want to give you the front end guys' perspective on the service department. I always tell people that when buying a car, put yourself in the consumer's shoes, but I find that difficult for myself to do because of my experience in selling cars and what I know and the way I bought cars, etc. But the service department is somewhere where I feel like I can be a consumer first. So, and everything tends, technology, ideas, marketing dollars, frankly paying attention, really starts at the front of the dealership, works its way back to the service department, and then hopefully gets to the parts department. Right, Kaylee? And so we know this, we've watched this happen. So now technology is on the forefront of the service departments right now, right? It's all anyone wants to talk about. In the videos, texting, okay? But here's what we learned on the front end. When you set those expectations of being able to communicate, seamlessly transitioning customers from an online appointment into the dealership and then out with their car fixed and delivered back to them, it can be difficult to execute new communication tools such as video and texting. So for me, those are the two big shining examples that stick out. The video portion of it is something that when someone comes to me with a major repair, I would like to understand the best I can. And right, I tell people all the time, I'm not a car guy, right? I don't know shit about cars. I don't know how to fix cars. I don't know anything about cars. What I love is the experience of selling a car, helping someone find that vehicle that fits them, etc. So as far as the details go, not my thing. But I feel like I'm smart enough to understand it and see the issue, right? And really dive into it, especially when people are asking for what I like to call comma repairs, right? Repairs that are over $1,000. So when that happens, there should be some transparency there. But let's try and, I don't know if it's a step back or forward as it relates to the text communication of things. The dealerships are now utilizing that as a form of communication. There's a couple of issues that I've run into with it. Number one, if your service advisors are the one responsible for doing the texting, from my experience, where do these people find the time in a day? I mean, they are running and gunning for most of the day. How does that communication work? If BDCs are doing it, where is the BDC getting the information from to communicate it back to the customer? A couple situations have come up in my service time at both the Subaru store and the Mercedes store that I go to via the text communication where it's this text us whenever, get to us whenever, ask us whenever, then we ask and we get nothing forever, right? And so you're just, there's a really, I put off joining the text world as long as I possibly could because I already have a quick trigger as it relates to someone needing something or needing something fixed. And so when texting came along, it was something that I was like, well, if I get involved in this, then I'm going to expect things to just be done even faster, even faster, even faster. And I put it off for a long time. I mean, like 2008, 2009, something like that. I don't know. It was a long time. Everyone laughed at me about it. But it's because of my expectation. And so that expectation really hasn't changed, although I've certainly softened it because I realize that's definitely not the case just because it's by text. But from a customer's perspective, if you tell me you're going to get back to me, if you tell me you're available, you should do that. The other issue is the multi-text line. Now, I don't know if this is caused by redundancies of technology within your departments, if this is because you have to use one over another, or if two are supposed to be communicating and they're not. I have no idea. But when you end up with three different texts from three different numbers over a 48-hour service period, it's not really that helpful to understand who is what and where is who, right? And honestly, it's been my experience that getting hold of service advisors by phone is already pretty difficult. Again, given the running around I mentioned earlier. So, but you've set an expectation. And I think that's where I struggle with it. And when I brought this idea up of video, my wife, one of her first feedback was, well, as a mechanic, that's not my job. I think the job has evolved. And I think it's necessary that people do that. Now, I can understand how that might not be necessarily the job. And I think dealership should have someone sort of as a video toolkit person around their dealership who can do video from the service department to the sales department into the social media outlets. Like, I believe that's a true position. So if that were the case, the mechanic would say, hey, go grab Sean. He'll shoot the video and then we can show it to the customer. Whatever. And as I've always joked on this show that I used to probably break a million OSHA guidelines because I'd hear of a problem in service and I'd just demand we walk the customer back and show it to him. If they didn't believe it and they wanted to argue with it, then we have nothing to hide. Let's go. And it was just, Sean, the fines. You can't be bringing customers back here. It was like, I don't care. This guy doesn't believe it. Show it to him. If he still doesn't believe it, put it back together and send him on his way. And you know, think that we did the right thing. So there's that part of it that I think is always been, again, I don't want to say missing, but as service departments get more into using tech, things that the front end have been using for a long time, I think it's only reasonable to expect there to be a little bit of that back and forth. But as far as the communication guidelines, I think if you're going to tell people that you're available, then you should be available. And if you really mean text us and we'll get back to you in 12 to 24 hours, then you should say that too. And I don't necessarily know that I have a problem with that, if that were the expectations set up in the beginning. And the worst is when you have to communicate with multiple people about your car when you start with one advisor or another. That would never, I wouldn't say never, that does not happen nearly as frequently at the front half of the dealership as it does at the back half of the dealership. And I do my best to try and keep with service writers that I enjoy, but I don't feel as if they are trying to keep me with them, if that makes sense. And so that's kind of the last part of it for me, is I've always preached that to my service advisors that, hey, you should want your customer retention as much as the salespeople want theirs, and the repeat business, and maybe even potentially referral business from service. I mean, face it, if people have that, they're going to ask friends and family too. And so to me, those are the missing parts of it. And I know right now service departments have major, major things going on with supply chain issues, shortages, employee shortages, mechanic shortages. And we're going to be addressing those things here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks of our May month of service. As we get into it, a few more guests that I think are going to be great to talk about on those topics. So be sure you're looking out for that. But when you go back to your dealerships and you look at how your service department is engaging technology, just be sure that you're setting a reasonable expectation with your team as well as your customers. All right, next week on the show, as I promised you, I have a great guest lined up. We're going to sit down. We're going to have a conversation. I hope to get it to you guys. And go out, enjoy your week, and join us again next week. Thank you guys so much.